Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome the four exciting, individual, diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right, that outstanding and delightful comedian Paul Merton, and beside him we have the senior players of the game with his ironic approach to humour, that is Clement Freud, and seated on my left we have that effervescent young comedy performer Chris Neal, and beside him America's gift to comedy, who's been come over here, Greg Proops. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Charlotte Davis, who's going to help me with the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the recently refurbished Theatre Royal in that wonderful cathedral city of Winchester. And we have in front of us a happy-looking Hampshire audience who are longing for the show to start. So let's get underway with Clement Freud. Clement, will you take this amazing subject to start a show with, The End of the World? Anyway, that's the subject. Clement, will you speak on it for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Many years ago, when I was a football correspondent for The Observer, there was a man with a sign which said, Clement Freud is here. And behind him, an old geezer had a similar placard, which said, the end of the world is nigh. I've now said three times.
That was very sporting of you, Clement. Yeah, yes, right. But Paul Merton, you pressed your buzzer first.
Repetition of parrot.
Yes, you've got the subject. You have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, and there are 41 seconds available. The end of the world starting now.
On the British Broadcasting Corporation World Service, I used to listen to that quite a lot, and sometimes you'd hear somebody say, that is the end of the world news. And if you hadn't heard the beginning of the bulletin, you'd imagine some nuclear holocaust had happened. But I realised then, of course, I was making a terrible mistake. When the moon looks down upon us and...
Chris Challenge.
Was there a repetition of when?
Yes, there was.
Was there?
Mm. Well, listen, Chris. Ooh. Right. Ooh. Shot challenge.
I'd just like to say I don't really want the subject. I think it may upset Hampshire.
Well, you have a point for a correct challenge, which is always very good grist to the mill in this show. Mm. And you have 24 seconds if you want it. You have the end of the world, and you start now.
The end of the world of leather sail is always a sad day for me. Sometimes you have to wait as long as 48 hours before it comes round again. Those moments I pace in my flat thinking, when? Oh, I was going to say when twice.
So, Paul, you press first. Yes.
When twice.
Yes, when twice. And you've got in a game with 9 seconds to go on the end of the world, and you start now.
King Henry VIII was making his way through Chelsea in London when he suddenly turned to one of his emissaries and said, what on earth is this place called? And...
And in this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. And at the end of that round, he has a lead. He has 4 points, actually. Chris has one. And we move forward to the second round. And Chris Neal, would you take the second round? This subject is office politics. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Office politics. Office politics. I would advise you, should you work in an office, never to get embroiled in office politics, disagreements with other people, that kind of thing. If Barbara, for instance, in accounts, wants to borrow your stapler, let her have it. Don't make a fuss. And then if Tom, from the same department...
Paul Challenge.
You'll never see that stapler again. She's got five of my staplers, Barbara. Five of them. What is she doing, Nicholas?
I don't know.
Has she borrowed anything of yours?
Well, I'm not in the same office.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm in the higher office. I've got the... yes. They bring their staplers to me, actually.
Do you have the key to the executive washroom?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, indeed. And I get other people to come in there with me sometimes. The,
yes, they're called nurses, aren't they?
You are wicked, yes. Right. I'll give you one bonus point for that, but Chris was interrupted, so you get a point because you were interrupted, and you keep the subject. 43 seconds on office politics starting now.
Office politics. I suppose it depends on the politics of the person whose office you are in. For instance, should you...
Greg, challenge.
I think he said instance twice, a repetition of instance.
No, I don't think so.
I just wanted to be on the show before it was over.
He's come all the way from America to do this show. America.
From the West Coast, from San Francisco.
He's come all the way. He's got the all direct the link between Winchester and San Francisco.
There's so, still that land bridge.
Yeah. Mm.
So we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption and the fact that you haven't spoken yet and you've come all the way from San Francisco. And but, Chris, you were interrupted. You get another point. 37 seconds, office politics starting now.
So the thing to do in Tony Blair's office, as for instance...
Common challenge.
Repetition of for instance.
Oh, there was for instance.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to do it for my friend here.
I know you were. He's sitting beside you. I saw you touch his hand, but he thought it was for... he thought it was for another reason.
I can multitask.
Clement, a correct challenge. You have the subject, and it's 33 seconds, office politics starting now.
Somebody said to me the other day, what is the matter with John Prescott? And the reply is that he's office politics.
Chris, you challenge. Yes, you got in on that long pause, Chris, and you have 22 seconds on office politics starting now.
In David Cameron's office, the business in hand is to bring a hoodie in for him to hug. Well, he does that on a webcam, of course, Web Cameron.
Clement challenged.
Repetition of course.
Of course. You did say of course before. Mm. Hmm. So, Clement, well listened. You have the subject back. You have 14 seconds. Office politics starting now.
There are...
Paul challenge.
Oh, hesitation.
No.
Really?
Really, yes.
I thought we had an interval.
No. No, Clement has another point in 13 seconds. Office politics starting now.
I didn't know I had a point before office politics, but I'm extremely grateful to everyone. And perhaps next time bonuses are awarded...
Chris challenge.
Oh, a deviation. It's slightly off the subject of office politics. It's about bonuses and...
Oh, well, bonuses are very important.
I suppose so. No, that is true.
Yes. Well, don't you muddle me now by saying that. I thought you were going to have it for hesitation, which you could have had. But
hesitation.
No, it's too late now. I don't think bonuses are too much. They have bonuses in offices. They get bonuses at the end of year. Christmas bonuses.
I wanted
all kinds
Clement
of things.
To have a bonus point. That was the
no, thing. He hasn't got a bonus point. Oh. He's won a point because you interrupted him incorrectly. So he's still got the subject.
You too can play this at home for hours.
4 seconds, Clement. Office politics starting now.
It's still mine for 4 seconds.
Yes.
I'm grateful.
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, it was, because he didn't realise he still had the subject.
Yeah.
And he paused. So you got him with 2 seconds to go, Paul, on office politics starting now.
Mrs. Warren won't let you into her office unless you're wearing a...
So Paul was in speaking as the whistle went in that extra point and he's increased his lead ahead of Clement Freud and Chris Neal, who are in second place. Greg proves his trailing a little and it's his turn to begin. Greg, the subject here for you is the bee's knees. Can you tell us something on that subject starting now?
The cat's pajamas, the dog's thingies, the bee's knees. These are all expressions for a state in which people are at their most fabulous. It's the thing that everyone likes the most in a bee, their knees, because their pollen sac is often full and hard to get to. So the knees are the thing that...
It's all very well to dry yourself up with your own material, isn't it?
I love what I do.
All right. Anyway, Chris, you challenge first.
A little sort of hesitation.
Yes, there was.
I was taking notes.
You were going to use the same material, were you? Yes, right. Chris, you've gone in with 39 seconds available. The bee's knees starting now.
As Greg was saying, the bee's knees are quite tricky things. Should you ever ask a bee what it wants for a present and it says socks, ask it. Oh, I've said ask.
Chris, I've said this before when you come to... Don't tell them always that you've done it. They may not notice.
We're not listening, so until you point it out... You're getting away with it until you point it out.
Clement, you've gone in first, and there are 32 seconds. The bee's knees starting now.
In order of magnitude, bee's knees are not very large. Nat's knickers are even smaller, but Nit's knackers are the very tiniest of all things. I think I have much more to say.
So Paul came in on that last remark.
Well, having delivered his message to the world...
Yes. Yes,
hesitation.
It was a throbbing message. A hesitation, yes, well done. 16 seconds, Paul. Tell us something about the bee's knees starting now.
The bee is a remarkable creature. It can swim, fly, drive a car, and it...
Chris Challenge.
Deviation, they can't fly a car. Drive a car. They can fly one, don't laugh, but they can't drive it.
No, they can't drive a car.
They cooperate together. The swarm grabs the steering wheel.
No, Chris, that's a legitimate challenge. 10 seconds, the bee's knees with you, starting now.
My dad supports a football team called Brentford, and they're known as the Bees. God, they're rubbish. It's induced misery in my mother's life for about the last 40 years. They lose every single match.
So Chris Neal was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and others in the round. He has moved forward dramatically. He's now only 1 point behind our leader, Paul Merton. He's just ahead of Clement Freud and a few more ahead of Greg Proops. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject, St. Swithin's Day. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, St. Swithin's Day is sometime in July, and I believe the old belief is that if it rains on St. Swithin's Day, then it's going to be raining for quite some time...
Greg, challenge.
Rains?
Rain and raining.
Raining, that's right, rain and raining.
Oh, is that not a repetition?
No, it's two different words.
Yeah. I'm listening as hard as I can.
Well, give him a bonus point for that, because he hasn't played it very much before, otherwise...
He's come all the way from America to play this game.
He's come all the way from San Francisco.
All the way from America to play this game.
Yes, all the way from San Francisco. Yes, you want another point, do you, Greg? Well, okay, give him another one.
Hooray for me.
Paul, you were interrupted. You get a point for that incorrect challenge. St. Swithin's Day, and there are 53 seconds starting now.
When you are aware of the water falling from the clouds, you realise that perhaps it did, in fact, precipitate on St. Swithin's Day, which then led to this long period of rainfall. And what an extraordinary myth and legend it is. If you look back to the ancient church parish records, you will see a picture of Nicholas Parsons at the age of 40. What an amazing thing it is. It's cut out in base relief in stained glass windows.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of thing.
Yes, there were two things there.
Were there?
Yes, no. Indeed, there were, yes.
And Nicholas Parsons as well.
Does Nicholas count as a thing?
Yeah.
Three things.
How disrespectful you are.
Yes, terrible. Isn't
terrible. Clement, you got
you
in with...
You gave a few more bonus points. People would be so much kinder to you.
I disagree.
You disagree.
I don't think people ever be...
Clement wants a bonus point, so give him a bonus point.
Ooh, can we ask for them?
Yes. You won't necessarily get them, but if Clement says... Right, 29 seconds, Clement. St. Swithin's Day, starting now.
I'm not actually terribly knowledgeable about St. Swithin, but...
Chris Challenge.
Well, give it to someone who is.
So what's your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Knowledge. There was a little hesitation.
There was only a little hesitation. Yeah. I don't think enough to actually say you should have the subject.
Also, well,
we will give you a bonus point.
Okay.
Because they did enjoy your interruption.
Yeah. Can I have one?
Yes, thank you've got
you.
One, a bonus
lovely.
Point.
Thank you.
Have you given it to him?
Yeah.
Right.
Can you give one to my friend Greg?
Oh, I'll give one to Greg as well. Why not? He's come all the way from San Francisco.
He's come all the way from San Francisco. Yeah, he needs a bonus point.
Of course he does, right.
He's trying to earn the fare to get back.
But, Clement, you have a point for this. It was an incorrect challenge. And St. Swithin's Day is still with you, and there are 24 seconds starting now.
St. Swithin's Day is actually my favourite subject, which I took for Mastermind when I did it. And University Challenge is another programme where you could have heard me speak very knowledgeably about St. Swithin, who was born on the 22nd of February, 248 AD, under the reign of the great Ethelred, who was not quite ready.
So Clement Freud gets the point for speaking as whistle went. He's equal with Chris Neal in second place. They're both 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's in the lead still, and Greg Proops is trailing them just a little. Chris, your turn to begin. The sound of music. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The sound of music made by primary school children on recorders is not a pleasant one. I would advise you not to listen if you get the chance to do the negative of the thing which you might be able to do. In fact, those young, tiny people I was referring to aren't good at the best of times. If I put it to you, is there a more unpleasant sound to the human ear than that of small children happily at play?
Paul Towns.
Oh, we had children before.
Yes, small children.
I said small
as well.
People, didn't I?
No. Well, you still said small.
I'm just touched that Paul's listening now.
Mm. I've set an alarm clock.
Paul, another point to you in 37 seconds. The sound of music starting now.
I recently did a gig with the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band at Shepherd's Bush Empire, and one of the tracks they asked me to participate in was called The Sound of Music. It was originally recorded with Vivian Stanchel and the rest of the boys back in 1967, and those people who are fans of that particular group will remember it with some affection. The Sound of Music itself as a film was made in 1965 by Robert Wise, who was an assistant editor on Citizen Kane, which just goes to show you that some film careers seem to go...
Clement Shunst.
Repetition of film.
Yes, you did mention the film.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you mentioned the film, Sound of Music, and some film editors, right. Yeah. So, Clement, you've got him with 10 seconds to go on the Sound of Music starting now.
I was asked to audition the other day for the lead part in the Sound of Music.
He was.
Chris, you challenge.
Deviation, I don't believe that's
No, he
true.
Was. He starts January.
Well, I'm afraid...
Were you a lonely goat herd?
His point was, yeah. He was asked to audition.
He was asked.
He could have been asked to audition. They may have thought he was a few years younger than he actually looks.
A bonus point.
No bonus point, but the benefit of the doubt. 6 seconds, Clement, the Sound of Music starting now.
I played Three Blind Mice on the recorder, which they enjoyed.
Chris Challenge.
Well, this isn't about the Sound of Music. This is about playing Three Blind Mice.
This was about the audition at the Sound of Music.
So, Clement, it was incorrect challenge. You still have 3 seconds. The Sound of Music starting now.
London's burning is what wowed them, I think.
So, Clement Freud, with his Sound of Music and the audition he did and the recorder and everything else, has moved forward, and he's now in the lead, just ahead of Paul Merton and Greg Proops and Chris Neal in that order. And Greg, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now, a very English one for an American from San Francisco, the Battle of Hastings. It's a bit of a challenge for you, but tell us something about the Battle of Hastings starting now.
The Battle of Hastings was fought on October 12th, 1066, in an iron and warm and
Chris.
Well, do we call that sort of hesitation? That
I think we do, yes. Unable to get his...
Well, maybe you're not down with my jive lingo.
It was Middle English, wasn't it? Middle English, Chaucer.
It was Middle English, Chaucer, but it was also nonsensical.
Yeah, a lot of it is now.
Yes, it's all gone. Chris, a correct challenge. The Battle of Hastings and 54 seconds, starting now.
The Battle of Hastings was due to take place at Hastings, but when William the Conqueror landed there, he went, Kelocher, what a dump. And thankfully, there was a little place in land called Battle, which was quite appropriately named, obviously, and so they did it there. And then someone got his eyes shot out. It was a nightmare, and they didn't even stop for tea. And the hills are alive.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. Paul. You have 35 seconds to tell us something about the Battle of Hastings starting now.
In 1963, the various mods and rockers that lived in the East End of London decided to meet in Hastings for a showdown to see who was the toughest teenage gang in town. What a load of rubbish.
Yes. But you were interrupted before that by Greg Proops. What was your challenge, Greg?
A little hesitation, a little deviation.
There was a hesitation, yes.
Maybe a mixed bag of both.
21 seconds available. The Battle of Hastings starting now.
William the Conqueror was exceedingly brave when he got to England. When he was just back in France, he was known as William the Wimp.
Paul Towns.
A repetition of William.
Yes, William the Conqueror, William.
Yes, but it's completely pertinent to the battle.
Mm. I know, but it doesn't. It's not pertinent to just a minute.
Man, you're a stickler.
Well, I have to be, otherwise I get assassinated by these other players. Right, Paul...
Do you know I've got a contract out on you at the moment?
Who's written it, you?
Yes.
Yes, all right. He says it with a smile on his face.
Can you not move around so much? There's a sniper up in the balcony.
Oh, dear. 14 seconds, Paul. The Battle of Hastings, starting now.
The Battle of Hastings began at around about 11:35 in the morning and lasted for several hours. All the noise and the people, you couldn't believe it. It was considered at the time to be the most brutal, bloodiest confrontation.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, and with other points in the round, he's moved forward again. He's just ahead of Clement Freud, and then Greg Proops and Chris Neal in that order. And we're on to Clement Freud now to speak on the subject of making small talk. 60 seconds, Clement, starting now.
In a small Spanish community, such as we have just heard about, making small talk is the only thing you can do because no one exceeds 5'9" in height.
Paul Challenge.
A slight hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
It stopped.
Yeah.
It's
not.
And that we interpret as hesitation. So 48 seconds available. Making small talk, Paul, starting now.
I've never been particularly good at small talk. I suppose it means you're at a party and you say, oh, those are very nice shoes, or where did you buy your hat, that kind of thing. I've never been very good at it. I've said it
and we've got a challenge.
Never
been very good at it. Yeah. Back with you, Clement, 40 seconds. Making small talk, starting now.
What's become of the old piano your sister used to strangle is the sort of small talk...
So who challenged? Chris, you challenge first.
Well, is that deviation from small talk?
It's a bit outrageous, but made everybody laugh, yes?
Yeah,
all right, Clement, benefit of the doubt. Right, 32 seconds, making small talk, starting now.
Does your mother take in washing? Has she sold her mangle? All those little things that people say to one another when there's nothing of import to transmit in conversation.
Chris challenged. No,
have you ever said, does your mother take in washing, isn't it?
You know, people do if they sort of dry up and suddenly you're at a party. You try and suddenly say...
So basically...
your mother taking washing, is that a demob suit you're wearing?
Yes.
But isn't that sort of slightly euphemistic? So you're saying if you're at a party and you slightly run out of things to say, go, oh, is your mother still a prostitute?
No. She takes in washing, that's a different thing.
That's right.
I'm not on my own with the euphemism, my dear. I know I'm not.
I mean, actually, I don't think you would say that, because it might be embarrassing. But it could be interpreted as small talk.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, Clement, another benefit of the doubt. And you have making small talk. 22 seconds, starting now.
War has broken out, or the end of the world has come, would not be collectively small talk, but rather... big conversation. Things to stop the party, have someone run out for vodka on the rocks.
Paul Jones.
Well, we have moved on to big talk.
On to big talk.
deviation from small talk.
Small talk,
big
yes.
conversation, small talk.
8 seconds for you on making small talk, starting now.
I can see your Operation Scar from here. It's something that somebody said to me at a party only the other day, and I realised...
Clement Challenge.
The repetition of day.
No.
He must have said day.
you're a great bluffer, Clement. So he gets another point for an incorrect challenge. And 3 seconds on making small talk, starting now.
Ah, Mr. Peters, I remember when I had the allotment next to you. It's a sort of thing.
Well, we're moving into the last round. Paul Merton is still in the lead. He's a few points ahead of Clement Freud. Clement's 2 or 3 points ahead of Greg Proops. And Greg is a few points ahead of Chris Neal, in that order. And Chris, your turn to begin. A secret I will never tell. Can you tell us something about that dramatic subject in this game, starting now?
A secret I will never tell is kept deep in my heart. Sometimes it makes me laugh, occasionally weep. On other instances, I have... with joy as I recall it. I can't tell you what it is because it's a secret I will never tell.
Greg, you challenge.
He stopped before the good part.
hesitation. But I think, Chris, as they give that round of applause when you did dry up, we'll give you a little bonus point for that.
Oh,
but Greg, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you have 44 seconds, a secret I will never tell, starting now.
Chris's secret involves a pot of yogurt, or yogurt, as it said here. I hope that's not a repetition.
Chris challenged.
Deviation, it doesn't include a pot of yogurt or yogurt.
That's not what you said backstage, Chris.
No, Chris, you've got the benefit of the doubt, and you have the subject, 37 seconds, a secret I will never tell, starting now.
How glad I am to have the subject of a secret I will never tell. There is so much to say on that particular...
Paul Challenge.
You're lying. He doesn't want the subject at all.
He doesn't.
He wants to get rid of it.
I know he doesn't, but he's still got it.
Yeah, deviation from the truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you get a bonus point because I enjoyed your interruption. Oh. But Claire, Chris, you
Claire.
Got a point. Claire.
Maybe that's the secret.
Chris, you got a point because you were interrupted. A secret I will never tell, and there are... 30 seconds starting now.
A secret that I have never told until now is that Nicholas Parsons calls me Claire. It makes me feel warm inside, not in a radioactive way, you understand, but more emotionally, more...
Greg, Pooh's challenge.
Three mores.
There were much more too much of more, yes. Greg, you've got him in 19 seconds. A secret I will never tell, starting now.
Claire was telling me backstage about a day when he had... You know, you see it right in front of you, and then it just turns into a big white tunnel. There was my grandfather standing at the end of it.
Nope.
Greg, he said, don't hesitate. And then I heard a bell.
And Clement, you challenge first. Right, 15 seconds. A secret I will never tell, starting now.
A secret I will never tell is Paul Merton's secret, and I promised that I would tell everybody about it. He was 11 years old. And his underpants were missing. People looked everywhere, on the floor, on the ceiling.
Well, Clement was then speaking only just as the whistle went, and Chris Neal, who did so well to start with, but then kept telling everybody when he'd repeated himself, finished up only just, but a very marvellous, brilliant fourth place. And Greg Proops, who had a bit of a slow start, but then he burst forth after a time, and he finished up
still
in
mopping
a,
up. Yeah, was still mopping up.
It's all that nobbling.
An excellent third place. Clement Freud, who gave his usual tremendous value, got a huge number of points, and was in second place, didn't quite get enough to overtake Paul Merton, who was out in the lead, so we say, this week, Paul Merton, you are our winner. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these four engaging players of the game. Paul Merton, Greg Proops, Chris Neal and Clement Freud. I thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such style every time the 60 seconds was up. And we thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing and delightful game. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Theatre Royal in Winchester, who really cheered us on our way magnificently. From all of us here, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Goodbye.